بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 10th of November in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 233rd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu and we're steadily going through the encounter at Siffin and the last thing I mentioned was the estimated guess of around 10,000 casualties during that encounter. So here, with so much loss of life, a question is often posed. Many thousands of Muslims lost their lives at Siffin. How can this ever be justified? And how then does one interpret the following Sahih Hadith? In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if two Muslims compete with each other with a sword, then both the killer and the killed are to enter hell. So I thereupon asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, undoubtedly, this is the case of the killer. But what is the fault of the one murdered? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarified, he wanted to kill his foe. So thus, does this not clearly condemn both parties? So this is a good question. So obviously, undoubtedly, thousands of Muslims lost their lives. And Muslims were fighting each other. And the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, you can't question it in terms of authenticity. Because both of them will be in hell, the one who kills and the one who's killed. When the Sahaba asked, what is the harm of the one who's killed? Because he intended to kill his brother. So they're both in hell. So here, the Honorable Imam Qurtubi, he clarified. In his Tadkhira, page 271-2 of the English translation, the scholars, rahimahumullah, say that this kind of warning is to be restricted to those who fight each other for the sake of the vanities of the world, according to a hadith reported by Al-Bazar. Fighting for the sake of supporting the deen or reformation is permissible. Take for example Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu, fighting with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu, for the sake of patronizing, i.e. the greater truth over the falsehood, i.e. as compared to it. So here Imam Qurtubi clarified. He said that this narration in Bukhari and Muslim is when the Muslims are fighting for the sake of the vanities of the world. And obviously, both Ali and Muawiyah were far from this. So this report, though you could apply to Siffin and the Battle of the Kamar, in reality it can't. And the reason is because they were fighting for the sake of the Sharia. And Imam Qurtubi said the hadith in Bazaar explicitly says that. They are fighting for the sake of the vanities of the world. So note, it's very interesting that you can be misled by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why you turn to the ulama. And just to mention again, Shaykh Maududi's vital clarification. In his tafsir, volume 13, page 94-5 of the English translation, Shaykh Maududi rahmatullah alayhi said, the Muslims' duty is that if all their efforts at reconciliation between the two parties fail, they should then find out as to who is in the right and who is aggressive. They should then join hands with the one who is in the right and fight the aggressor. So the Shaykh was saying that you try your best to bring them to peace. And if they don't, you find out which one is aggressive and you side against them. Then he said, as this fighting has been enjoined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obligatory, it comes under jihad. It is not the fitna about which Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. The one standing is one better than the one moving, and the one sitting is better than the one standing. Because this hadith applies to that fitna where the mutual fighting of the Muslims is for the sake of bigotry or for a false sense of honor and worldly possessions, and neither may be having the truth on its side. So stopping the quote. So Sheikh Maududi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that if you join the side of the one who's been aggressed against and you fight against those who are the aggressors, he goes, this is not taking part in fitna. And the hadith which people are fond of quoting, the one standing is better than the one moving, etc., that is only with regards to the fighting is for the sake of the world. Then the Shaykh said, as for the fight that is undertaken in support of the group that is in the right against the aggressor, it is not taking part in the fitna, but carrying out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I refer to Surah 49 verse 9. All the jurists, rahimahumullah, are agreed upon its obligation. And there is no difference of opinion amongst the Holy Prophet's companions about it being obligatory. Refer to Hafiz al-Jassas in Ahkam al-Quran. Indeed, some jurists consider it superior to jihad against the unbelievers itself. And their reasoning is that Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anh, spent the entire period of his khilafat in fighting against the rebels instead of primarily performing jihad against the unbelievers. I refer to Ruhul Ma'ani. So this is not only greatly encouraged, some ulama said it's better than jihad against the unbelievers. And of course, Ali had fell into that category, radiallahu anh. So the reason I'm reiterating these statements is because people get emotional because thousands of Muslims lost their lives for what? And then you respond by saying, for the sake of the truth. And if they say, well, wasn't this the fitna? Why didn't the Sahaba keep out of it? And the response, it wasn't the fitna. That is when they're fighting for the sake of the world. This was turmoil. And specifically with regards to Hazrat Muawiyah, radiallahu anh, how could Muawiyah, radiallahu anh, out of all people, have taken matters unlawfully to the battlefield when he himself heard Rasulullah say the following words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is likely to forgive all sins of a man except in the case of the one who died as a polytheist or the one who purposely kills a believer. Subhanallah. This is in Nasa'i, Ahmad Sahih, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi in his Kaba'ir, page 20 of the English translation. So let's look at this. So in this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of Muawiyah radiallahu, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's two that Allah ta'ala, he will not forgive. One is the one who dies in shirk. And the other who purposely kills a believer. So the question to pose is this. If Muawiyah narrates this hadith, and he took matters unlawfully onto the battlefield, that means that he's going against the hadith that he himself narrated. So note, it's very interesting who narrates the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, he was far from this. Thus, how could Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anh have considered fighting against the official Khalif and spilling the blood of Muslims all for the sake of a fleeting monarchy? Did he not say, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anh, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not choose between two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that I choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the other. This is recorded by Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar 3-151. So think about this. So before he entered onto the battlefield, this is what he himself said. If I have a choice between Allah Ta'ala and going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will always go for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do you honestly believe that he went against his own principles? So let those with any intellect reflect upon this. So again, this is important with regards to Shafi'i. So now some important narratives, i.e. food for thought. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi. This is in Ibn Abi Dunya, Al-Bidayah, volume 8, page 133. He said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, whilst Abu Bakr and Umar were besides him, radiallahu anhu. I gave him the greetings of As-Salam and I sat besides him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suddenly Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu were brought. They were taken into a chamber, which was thereafter locked whilst I was looking on. It was not very long thereafter, upon which Sayyidina Ali emerged whilst he was saying joyously, The judgment was for me. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. It was immediately after him that Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu emerged and he was saying with relief, I have been forgiven. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. So let's look at this. So first of all, is it authentic? Hafiz Ibn Kathir records it in Al-Bidayah and he's happy with the authenticity. Ibn Abi Dunya. The narrator is the righteous Caliph Umar bin Abdul Aziz from the Umayyads. And he had a dream. So why is it very important to highlight he's a pious man? Because the truthful have truthful dreams. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Dhul-Madi, those of you who are truest in their speech will have the truest dreams. So he was an awliya, Zahid, you know, one of the great men from the Salaf. So he saw Rasulullah, Abu Bakr and Umar. He gave salam and he sat next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then he saw Ali and Muawiyah brought, radiallahu anhum. They were taken into a special chamber and it was locked. And then look at the wording. Shortly thereafter, Ali emerged, meaning he was very quick. And he was joyously saying, the judgment was for me. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. So if I stop there, you're thinking, well, that's it, then Muawiyah, you know, he's finished. Immediately after him, Muawiyah emerged and he said with relief, I have been forgiven. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. Meaning the ijtihad, there was a failing, but Allah Ta'ala has forgiven. So now, it would not come as a surprise to relate the following about Umar bin Abdul Aziz. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 5, page 394, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, was once asked about what happened in the Battle of Siffin. And he replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped that blood from leeching my hands. And I thus now hate to stain my tongue with it. The likeness of companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that of the eye. The best way to heal the eye is not to touch it. Subhanallah. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, people obviously were coming to him, all sorts, the fish and the fowl. And this must have been a favorite conversation. Battle of Siffin, you know, was Ali, was it Muawiyah, was it for the sake of the world? All these questions circulating. So he first gave a beautiful qaida. And he said that Allah Ta'ala protected me from the blood. I'm not going to stain my tongue with it. Meaning, Alhamdulillah, I missed that. But then he gave something very important. He gave the likeness of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because they like the eye. And he goes, the best way to heal the eye is don't touch it. Meaning, companions got involved at Siffin. So what's the best thing? You don't start poking your eye. Makes it worse. Just leave it and the eye will heal. Imam Bayhaqi commented upon this beautiful saying in his Manaqib al-Shafi'i, page 136. This is excellent because keeping quiet about what does not concern one is the right thing to do. The Imam Bayhaqi, the great Imam of the Shafi school, he said excellent advice from the great Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, this is excellent that you, it doesn't concern you. Why are you even discussing it? Similarly, Muhammad ibn al-Nadr, rahmatullah alayh, he said in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 5, page 382, the disagreement between the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned in the presence of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And he said, it is an affair. Allah the Almighty remove from your hands that your tongues are now foolishly executing instead. Subhanallah. So what he said to the foolish people was, because instead of being grateful, you weren't there. Allah Ta'ala saved you from that. You're now dragging yourself into with your tongue. So note, you can see, he was always being asked these questions again and again. In another report, in Ibn Asakir, Al-Bidayah, volume 8, page 133. Abu Zurra al-Razi, he said, rahmatullah alayh, a man once said to me, I do not like Muawiyah, radiallahu. So I asked, and why is that? He responded, because he fought Ali, radiallahu. I thereupon said to him, woe to you. Indeed, the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala of Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, is the most merciful. And the opponent of Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, is also a merciful opponent. Now, where do you come in between them? For if they have both forgiven him, where do you stand? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them both. Subhanallah. Look how beautiful. So Imam Abu Zurra al-Razi, he was a famous muhaddith. A man said to him, I don't like Muawiyah. So that straight away, something going wrong. But he was polite enough to ask why. And what was the response? Classic. He fought Ali. You know, how many times have I been asked that? Forget about it in the time of the Salaf. So look at the responses. You know, he didn't just say, there's something wrong with you. Can you argue with this, you know, with this methodology he put forward? First he goes, woe to you. He goes, who is the Lord of Muawiyah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is he not the most merciful? And who is the opponent of Muawiyah? Isn't he also most, you know, merciful? And then he goes, where do you come in between them? So we expect Allah Ta'ala to have mercy upon him. He's the most merciful of those who show mercy. And Ali loved to forgive. So where do you fit in? And then he said, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with them both. But what he simply was saying was, you ventured into it. The most merciful of those who show mercy will have mercy. Sayyidina Ali will certainly forgive. The problem is you. You've entered the arena. So what he said was, don't do this, keep out of it. How true were the words of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, who said, Rahmatullah alayhi in Tabri in his tariq, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is a means of testing for us. Those whoever we see looking down on him, we then suspect he has a problem with the companions. Subhanallah. Look how beautiful. Abdullah ibn Mubarak. So who's Abdullah ibn Mubarak? He's from the Salaf. So he's from the Tabba Tabi'ins. And he's a very interesting personality. He's unblemished. There is no negative comment about him in the Hadith books, meaning he was a Hanafi. He followed Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So this great man, he used to do 6 months jihad and 6 months teaching. That's what he do his entire life. He said, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is a means of testing for this. Meaning Allah Ta'ala has put him as a test. So what's the test? Whoever we see looking down on him, we suspect he has a problem with the companions. And isn't that 100% true? So all you've got to do is, if you know, if a person's got something wrong with his heart, brother, you know, has it Muawiyah? What do you know about him? Ask him that question. And if he goes, well, you know, he fought Ali. There you go. He goes, you've got him straight away. He will always have a negative comment. That's the nature of these people. And how many people have actually said anything positive about Muawiyah that you ask about? Imagine, you ask somebody, you know, even if you ask ulama, tell me about Muawiyah. He goes, yeah, he fought Ali. Okay, thank you. Right? Tell me about Muawiyah. Yeah, you know, he took the Khilafah by force. Tell me about Muawiyah. And what did Abdullah ibn Mubarak goes? Because you failed the test. You got a problem with the Sahaba. It is also related by Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi in his Manaqib al-Imam Ahmad, page 164. Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayh, he was asked about what happened between Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, and he responded, I do not say anything about them except that which is best. So think about it. You've got to an Imam now. One of the four Imams. If anybody could find anything wrong, is him. And what did he say? I'm only going to mention good things about them. What is best? So how can anybody lower than them start coming out with statements? Mufti Sahib said, where did he pop out from? Right? Sheikh al-Hadith, where did he come from? Kitchen sink, right? You know, who else is talking? Oh, this guy who stood in the library. Where's he popped out from? You go to the highest level. At the highest level, say, I do not say anything about them except that which is best. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, what did he say? Rahmatullah alayh. In Fath al-Bari 13-34. The Ahlus Sunnah are unanimously agreed. It is not allowed to criticize any of the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, because of what happened to them, even if we know who was in the right. For they did not fight these battles except on the basis of what they believe was right. Indeed, it is proven that the one who erred will have one reward, and the one who got it right will have two rewards. In Fath al-Bari, 13-34. So what's the key point Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani was making? He said, we are not allowed to criticize any of the Sahaba. He didn't stop at that. Even if we know who was in the right. So even if somebody says to you 100%, for example, this Sahaba made a mistake, 100%. He goes, we are still not allowed to criticize them. So if that's the case, can we criticize them if there's doubt? And if they are upon the lesser truth? This is talking about the worst case scenario. And he goes, this is unanimous. And then he goes, they fought on the basis of what they believed. And if they made a mistake, they will get one reward. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did Hafiz ibn Kathir say? In Al-Ba'ith Al-Haditha, page 182, Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, said, with regards to that concerning which the companions differed amongst themselves after the passing away of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then some of it happened without their intending to, such as the battle of the camel. Some of it was based on what they thought was correct, such as the battle of Siffin. A decision may be mistaken, but the person is excused. Even if it is wrong, he will be rewarded for it. And the one who gets it right gets two rewards. So here, the great Hafiz ibn Kathir, the Mufassir, the Muhaddith, rahmatullah alayh, he said that the companions, two things happened to them. They got involved in a battle without intending, Battle of the Camel. They got involved in a battle with intention, the Battle of Siffin. So he goes, you can't say that. One was they were forced into it. The other was they went into it deliberately. Then he said, a decision may be mistaken, but the same thing like Ibn Hajar said, even then they will get one reward. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, was once asked regarding the one who curses Muawiyah, what is due upon him. In Al-Bidayah 18-37-8, he said, Alhamdulillah, whoever curses any of the companions of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan, Amr ibn al-As, and the likes of them both, he is then entitled to be punished severely according to the consensus of the scholars. The only contention being whether he should be punished by death or something less than this. So imagine, somebody asked the great Ibn Taymiyyah, the Imam of the Hanbali school, rahmatullah alayh, the Mufassir, the Muhaddith, the exorcist, he was an Imam of many departments. He goes, if somebody curses Muawiyah, what's the hukum? He didn't say, well, he needs to study. Or, you know, as long as he's solid, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. That's what we say. He said this, Alhamdulillah, meaning I'll get enjoyment out of this. Whoever curses any of the Sahaba, and he mentioned two. That's very interesting. Which two did he mention? Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As. Because that's who they target. He goes, he is entitled to be punished severely. By who? Consensus of the scholars. Meaning you don't even get a difference of opinion. The only difference arises, should he be killed? Or should we, you know, discipline him severely? That's the only difference. Al-Maymuni similarly related in Al-Bidayah 5-644. Imam Ahmad once informed me, or Abul Hasan, if you see anyone mentioning the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum with evil, then have concern for his Islam. Subhanallah. Or Abul Hasan, if you see anyone mentioning the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum with evil, then have concern for his Islam. Who said that? Imam Ahmad. So what was he saying? You have ventured into something which could make you lose your iman. So let me ask you a question. Is that something that's just minor? Or is it a major failing? Major. Because if somebody goes to you, if you go into this area, you might become kafir. Are you going to go, well, I'll scare around it, I'll double around it. You keep away like a plague. You put a barrier there, I don't even go in there. Imam Ahmad said, this is it. If you see anyone mentioning the companions with evil, have concern, meaning he's on the threshold, on thin ice. Abu al-Mudaffar al-Samani, he said, Rahmatullah alayhi, in Fath al-Bari, 4-360, exposing the faults of the companions, radiallahu ta'ala, is a sign of betrayal for the one who does it. Furthermore, it is an innovation and misguidance. So who are these people? You know, how do you want to go? Mudaffar al-Samani, one of the great muhaddiths, he said, you are a traitor if you expose the faults of the Sahaba. Traitor to who? Islam. You know, if you get a spy who's working for the enemies, that's you. You become one of them. And what is the punishment for that? Death. Treason. You committed treason. Then he said, it is an innovation, misguidance. If you want to talk about bid'ah, there it is. Where does it say you should find the faults of the Sahaba? Similarly, Al-Fadl ibn Ziyad, he said, in Al-Bidayah 5-644, I heard Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh being asked about a man denigrating Sayyidina Muawiyah and Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma. Should he be called a Rafidi? He replied, no one will feast on the honor of them both except a person of disgusting evil. No one detracts from the honor of any of the companions except he has entered into an evil groove. This is in Al-Bidayah 5-644. So why am I coming out with all these reports? Because, have you noticed the difference of opinion? There's no difference of opinion. You go to the Imams, they're all saying the same thing. You come down to our level, then Bakwa starts, right? I've researched. Yeah, what have you found out, mate? I found out that, you know, Hazrat Muawiyah caused devastation. Hold on, mate. You're skating on thin ice. Another one comes. No, Muawiyah's great leader. But he made a massive mistake. Yeah, you probably sink with your brother next year, right? What about you? He goes, well, I've got no problems with Muawiyah, but Amr was the real mastermind behind it. He caused devastation. Common statements. And where have we been given the license for that? Imam Ahmad said here, to reiterate, can we call that person a Rafidi? And he said, he didn't even say yes. Look what he said. No one will feast on the honor of them both except a person of disgusting evil. Why did he say feast? Because when you bite, what does the Quran say? Would you love to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Surely you would detest this. You're feasting on whose flesh? Then he said, no one detracts, meaning you just take a hair, you drop them by one rank, detracts any of the companions. But he's entered into an evil groove. This is in Al-Bidayah 5-644. So now, if I was to ask you to finish, is the Muslim world not infested with this? Leaving aside the Rawafid fitna. Forget about the Rawafid, right? You're doing their job for them. So how do we get out of this mess? The person goes, look, you know, you've scared me to death. How do you get out of this mess? You've got to go through the Sahaba's lives. You can't get, you know, COVID, you know, 2 TK and then you're, you know, immunized, right? And you still end up in hospital. You know, you have to study their lives. And when you actually go through their lives, you start realizing, oh my God, what are these people doing? And I would go as far as to say, many have lost their iman. Many have lost their iman because they've entered that groove. And the amazing thing is, they don't even realize. Imagine, if you're a kafir, you normally, you get clear, I've left Islam. These bozos, they still think they're Muslims. Imagine, asli Muslim, sahaba Abu Munafiqs. Right? And then you think, I don't know what planet this guy's on. The students who sat at the feet of the Prophet, the Munafiqs, and the one who came 1,400 later, he's the one with the, he's a mu'min. Right? So note, you can see madness, and there's the madness in these people. And we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all that causes devastation and his displeasure. Amen. So all I mentioned today was two things. One is, with the loss of so many Muslim lives, how can you justify this? And the answer I gave to this, and I reiterated what Sheikh Maududi mentions. Then I mentioned many reports of the Salaf where they told you again and again not to go into these matters. And if you do, tread very carefully. But do we tread carefully? Astaghfirullah. If Allah the Almighty and Glorious goes to war with those who find fault with his awliya, famous hadith, Sahih Bukhari. If you go to war with Allah Ta'ala, how far are you going to get? That's if you find fault with an awliya. And consensus, our belief, all of the awliya combined aren't like the dust of the lowest sahaba. So you can't even put into words what you've done. You haven't gone to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're probably cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, sadly, the fitna of this is spreading due to our neglect of these noble souls. And it also shows how much Allah ta'ala loves them. Because if you neglect them, he gets angry. You notice this. If you neglect the lives of the sahaba, what happens? You notice. You see misguidance. And there's the sign that Allah ta'ala's anger is upon these people. Are there any questions? Let us. سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك في الله من شرك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصل الحق واصل الصبر صدق الله